You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings. Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. When it comes to a starting lineup, everybody loves the starter from Jack Black. Loaded with the superior skincare that the pros love, LA Kings fans can get the starter for just $10, shipping included. Available exclusively at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB, the starter has four of Jack Black's best-selling skincare and shave products, plus a full-size intense therapy lip balm SPF 25 in natural mint. Here's to the winning combination of the LA Kings and the starter from Jack Black, $10 plus free shipping, available at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB while supplies last. Zach Dooley is doing his series of player evaluations for the 2021 NHL season over at lakingsinsider.com, and Darrell Evans and I are playing along. We're talking about goalies now, and I want to start with Cal Peterson. And ordinarily, when we do these player evaluations, I don't like to spend too much time talking about contract status because we're evaluating the previous season. We're not worried about the future. But in this particular case, I am going to focus a little bit on the contract status because this coming season, the 2021-22 season, is the last year on Cal Peterson's deal. He's getting paid less than $900,000 a year. Meanwhile, Jonathan Quick is getting paid, or I should say his cap hit, is more than $5 million a year. Jonathan Quick has a year left on his contract after this season, and Cal Peterson is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this upcoming season. So my question, Darrell, is before we get into evaluating Cal Peterson, does it even really matter what happened to Cal Peterson over the course of this season, or is he the de facto starter next year because of the contract status?
I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. I think when you look at Peterson's year, I think towards the end there, we saw the Kings maybe, you know, trying to give him the torch to try to run with it. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was playing, you know, more games in a row than Quick got at the end. And again, not going to push all the blame, you know, upon Peterson. You know, he didn't get the offensive support like Jonathan Quick hasn't gotten over the years, you know, for the last few years as well. You know, Kings have always lacked that, you know, that push and maybe an extra goal a game to really help their goaltenders out. So I think as you move forward, and, you know, you look at the way the goaltending finished off at the end of the year, I think Peterson lost 12 of his last 14, Quick won the last four of his last five. I think you have to go into next year. And I think the best for everybody is that number one spot is up for grabs. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, I think even Quick himself, well, he understands, he knows that, you know, Peterson's the goaltender of the future, so to speak. But I don't expect Quick to give up that role. So Cal Peterson is he's got to come out. He's got to be real solid. You know, he's probably going to be given the benefit of the doubt early on, give the upper hand, maybe, you know, gain a few more starts, than Quick. But I expect a push from Quick, on the other side. Quick is going to challenge Cal Peterson to be at his best, because if Cal Peterson's not at his best, there's a lot more at stake for the Kings, you know, each year as we move forward. So they're going to need that consistent goaltending. Cal has shown that he can do the job. He'll get to learn the league a little bit more. You know, he hasn't got, you know, even though, you know, this past year, you can say it was a full season, but, you know, he didn't get as many games as you'd like to see. He didn't get to see all the opposition. So, you know, there's still need to get a full read on him. So Cal's got some work to do. And it'll be interesting to see, when training camp comes, how it all plays out, to see the way both goaltenders look at training camp and to see who earns that opening night start to get that first game. Because I think it's going to be very, very competitive between the pipes. And as the team gets better, I think Jonathan Quick elevates his game. I think there's still there's some in the tank there for Quick, and he's going to make Cal Peterson be at his best, and that'll be a win-win for the Kings.
Yeah, obviously, the better both of them play, the better for the team. I want to focus in on that phrase you said about Cal Peterson being the goalie of the future, and that's part of the reason I focus on that contract status, because he'll be 27 in October in the final year of a contract that sees him as an unrestricted free agent at the end. So at some point, the future just has to be the present. Looking at his season, though, there's some strong stretches. Obviously, that three-game win streak for him in February. But as you pointed out earlier, a ton of losses in the last month and a half of the season. How much of that was him maybe, you know, being overused? Or, I mean, obviously he wasn't overused, but how much of that is do you suppose, on Cal Peterson's shoulders? And how much of that is just the team disappointing as a whole over the late stretches of the season?
I think a little responsibility has to be taken on both sides. Probably in this case, maybe a little bit more upon the team. The team didn't play, you know, necessarily with the structure that, you know, that the coach and coaching staff management would like to have seen. And I think as you go into next season and, you know, now you got a better understanding, just, you know, from a goaltending standpoint, who you're going to have in front of you. You know, you've got Doughty back, you've got, you know, Roy and Walker. We've seen, Mikey Anderson and Bjornfoot, you know, take their games to another level. So I think there's a little bit more stability back in the blue line. And I think that really plays to the goaltender's, you know, to his help. I think he can really benefit from that. And that starts with being able to, you know, set up pucks for guys, you know, reading outnumbered attacks coming against you, knowing and trusting that your defense have got guys covered on the back door. So that'll continue to grow, you know, for Cal, that communication with his defense. And, you know, I think Cal, you mentioned, you know, you kind of use like a little bit of that term overworked. You know, if he's going to be a number one goaltender, you know, there might be stretches that, you know, you might get a coach. Coaches love to ride hot goaltenders, and not to say that it'll ever revert back to the way it was when Quick was in his heyday, where he was playing, you know, 70 plus games a year. I don't think we're going to see that anymore. I think we're going to see goaltending more evenly shared because of the travel and just the way the game is played. You know, the side-to-side movement, the mental engagement. And I think that's where probably Peterson, more than anybody, probably, you know, felt that mental strain, just constantly being under attack. You know, I don't have the number off the top of my head how many games he faced 40-plus shots. But when you're seeing that much rubber, and it's not necessarily it's, you know, a physical strain, it's more the mental. You know, teams are putting the puck at you from all different angles, so you're constantly on your toes and thinking, and, you know, and then you got to get ready to play again the next night, maybe play 3 and 4 nights. So that could have been a little bit of a strain on him, but that's where maturity, growth, stamina, you know, we know that Cal's not a big, strong body. He might need to, you know, make some adjustments in his training that I'm sure the, you know, the goaltending staff and all that will, you know, develop different muscles to be a little bit stronger and build up that stamina and endurance. But, you know, again, from Cal's standpoint, I think there's still a lot of growth there, and he will benefit, you know, as the team gets better, you know, being able to trust his teammates and everybody buying into playing a complete, you know, structure type of hockey. That way, the goaltender, they have a better idea when they're going to see shots, where they're coming from, and trust that there's not going to be a second shot coming. Like, concentrate on making that initial play. Of course, you don't want to kick the rebound right back up in the middle of the slot, but you're going to trust that the guys coming back in the back check have got their guys covered and, you know, allow him to be able to focus on, I need to stop this shot that's coming at me and get the job done, because he definitely showed that he can do it. I remember a game that he played in Colorado this past year, outstanding game. You know, the Kings just couldn't provide any offense for him, but he was outstanding from his position between the pipes.
We're talking today about a man that I have taken to calling the most important King in Kings history, not the best King in Kings history, because obviously when you have a franchise with, you know, Marcel Dion and Wayne Gretzky, Andre Kopitar, it gets tough to throw out the best title. But given the franchise's history of goaltending up until he started making a name for himself, like I said, in my mind, Jonathan Quick, the most important King in Kings history, came in, solidified that position, led the Kings to two Stanley Cup wins. And every time it seems like people are convinced, not Kings fans necessarily, but people outside the market are convinced that Jonathan Quick's career is over, he winds up showing up and proving them wrong. So what do we think about the season that Jonathan Quick had this year, Darryl?
You know, Jonathan Quick, you touched on the importance of Jonathan Quick and the value to his team and you know, the organization, the franchise, and to his success. The Kings would never really have accomplished, you know, what they did 12 through 14. Without outstanding goaltending from Jonathan Quick. There was a number of nights that he took the team upon his shoulders You know, again, they were a team that were challenged to score goals. And Jonathan Quick, you know, knew how he had to make sure that he was at the top of his game each and every night. And those were years when he was playing, you know, 65 plus games a year. And he found a way to get the job done. But he had a great trust amongst his defense as to where the shots were coming from, and, you know, the back door being covered and guys being covered in right situations because some of the guys had been around for so long. You know, the handoff of puck setting things up was outstanding. But he was a big factor in so many things for the Kings. You know, his body language, the demeanor that he showed on the ice, the competitiveness that he showed, you know, not being in the locker room. I know he had a voice in the locker room as well, but he spearheaded things for the Kings. He was in that leadership group, you know, from a young stage. And, you know, you look at the playoffs, what he did in the playoffs, you know, the statistics speak for themselves. But, you know, that's the type of hockey Jonathan Quick wants to get back to playing, those meaningful games. And I still think he's got a lot in the tank to be able to be that difference maker. Now, in saying that, I think it's great that they have Cal Peterson in a position competing for the job. And also not only competing for the job, but to be able to spell Quick, be able to give him a rest. You know, I think the rest is needed much more now than it was, you know, back in those days, you know, especially if you're a team that looks to play in the playoffs. You know, if you're looking to ride a goaltending 70 or 70 games in the season and then expect them to go 20, maybe 25 in the playoffs, you know, for a goaltender, say, first of all, healthy is very demanding because of the wear and tear on the body, regardless of how young you are. I think that takes its toll over time. So I think that from Quick's standpoint, you know, he'll continue to keep challenging for that number one spot with the team getting, you know, more consistent and better and in more of a direction as to a style that they want to play. I think that'll benefit Quick as well. Again, Quick is so accustomed to playing with a team with so much structure. It was almost robotic for him. And, you know, and it was kind of like a give and take between he and his teammates. Each one of them could trust and rely upon anybody. You know, you go back 10 years, Kings had a lead going into the third period. You could leave the arena, go home, and just turn it on and see exactly what the final score was, but you knew the Kings won the game. So it's a little bit different now. You know, he's seen more shots, more quality shots, and that some of that has to speak because of the way the game has changed. You know, there's a number of the players that are coming up, and that's included in the Kings group. There's a lot of skill in the NHL right now. So I think it's a little bit more, you know, demanding upon a goaltender. So I don't think you can necessarily look at Quick's numbers from his best years and try to compare them today because it's a different game. Maybe back then you might say, you know, I'll just use a number. You might get 5 or 7, you know, grade A scoring chances against in a game. Today, that number might be elevated anywhere from maybe 10 to 15. So, and the quality of the chances coming in, the individuals that are having those chances are, you know, more skilled players than they were, you know, going back 10 years ago. So I think Quick is adjusting to the way the NHL is being played. I think if he can, you know, get the rest that he's needed, there's a lot there for him. And the way that he can push Peterson, Peterson can push him. I think it's a great tandem in that. I think it's a tandem that you need, you know, for a couple of years. And there's nobody better than Jonathan Quick for Cal Peterson to see the way he conducts himself on a day-to-day basis, mentally, physically, you know, the way he handles himself, the way he prepares, and the way he dials in. And, you know, even probably from a standpoint, the way he schools himself on the opposition as, you know, players' tendencies and things like that. So Quick, I still think, has a lot in the tank, and he's probably got more in the tank as the Kings continue to improve their compete level. You know, if the Kings push for, you know, a playoff spot that they're expecting to get into this year, Jonathan Quick, I think, plays a factor in it.
We're going to start out with some restricted free agents. And first on the list is Trevor Moore. Now, Trevor Moore was acquired in a trade from the Toronto Maple Leafs in exchange for Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford. And honestly, Daryl, when they pulled that trade off, I didn't think much of Trevor Moore, but he has quickly become one of my favorite Kings. What's your take on Trevor Moore this past season?
Yeah, I think Jess said he's been a real pleasant surprise. Not only his ability to be able to play, but be a player that can play in a lot of different roles. He provides great energy. His consistency this past season was amongst the best amongst all Kings players. And I think it was a real pleasant surprise. I think the Kings probably, maybe themselves even, it opened their eyes up a little bit. And they maybe got a little bit more than they bargained for. But Trevor Moore, I thought, had an outstanding year, and he was definitely one of the bright spots and consistent spots throughout the Kings season.
Winds up playing 56 games, the full season, 10 goals, 13 assists, 23 points, only playing 14 minutes a game, well, in about 14 and a half minutes per game. But displays a kind of versatility that I think makes his value larger than the sum of the numbers.
I would agree. I think when you look at a player and you're looking to establish a role, versatility plays a big part of it. The ability to play both the left and the right side, that means breaking the puck out of your own zone, taking plays on the backhand. He's got energy to be able to play on the penalty kill. He's got a good hockey mind to be able to, get to the right spots. And then from time to time, he can complement your power play if a guy needs a rest or maybe somebody's injured or something out of the lineup. So I think his ability to be able to slot in to not only your, top maybe six forwards, but he can play anywhere on your bottom six and provide you with that energy that really becomes contagious, amongst the teammates. And he's just a little spark plug out there for the Kings. And, his work ethic is real solid. And, he should only improve as he continues to move forward.
Now, people who are listening to this won't be able to see the smile that broke out on my face when you used the word contagious. But that was actually the very next question I was going to ask you, is that Todd McLellan a few times this year has said in his post-game availabilities or morning skate availabilities, he's referenced the contagious nature of certain lines or certain players. So to hear you say that about Trevor Moore, just validating the question I was about to ask, how important is it? I'm trying not to ask the how important questions. how many players does a team need that has that contagious type of energy in order to go from non-contender to contender status?
I don't think you can ever have enough of them. I think if everybody can bring a little something to the table, they're going to bring it in a variety of ways. Some are going to display it on the ice with their play. Others are going to be a little bit more vocal. So it can be done in a number of different ways. And I think that, now that he's been around the team and been around the players a little bit more, I think we might even see a little bit more of a vocal Trevor Moore, in the locker room. And I know something that Todd has preached on the ice as well, is he wants the guys to communicate and use their voices on the ice to be heard. And I think we'll see a little bit more of that out of his game. So I think he's an important, so to say, maybe a bridge player between the older players and maybe some of those younger players. Maybe some of the young guys will find it a little easier to latch on to a guy like Trevor, as opposed to maybe a little intimidating when you look at the likes of Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, Dustin Brown, Jonathan Quick. Sometimes those guys are a little intimidating in a way to approach. So maybe when you see a young guy that hasn't been around that long and kind of do the things that he's done, it might be a little bit easier for some of those guys that are coming in at 19, 20, 21 years of age to look and say, okay, and maybe kind of pick their brains a little bit in order to make that transition a little bit smoother.
Trevor Moore was undrafted, so has obviously fought and earned every scrap of ice time he gets. He's a restricted free agent. I fully expect him to be re-signed and protected in the expansion draft, but I guess we've got the rest of the summer to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to play itself out pretty quick. When you look at, the protected list, coming out, we're about probably, I guess it's a little over 5 weeks away from that. And it's going to roll by real fast. But I think, Rob Blake, Luke Robitaille, and the organization are, slowly, kind of checking things off the list right now and, preparing for all these little things. So it's going to go by quick. But I would think that, Trevor Moore, the Kings, and probably had conversation, and I think he's probably got a pretty good understanding as, where the Kings sit. And I think the Kings have a pretty good idea of where his side sits as well. So I would expect that to get resolved probably quite smoothly.
We're talking about Andreas Athanasiou, brought in the offseason to, to supplement the team's goal scoring. Plays 47 games, scores 10 goals, 13 assists, 23 points. So you look at it, and right off the top, you'd go, all right, well, he's, scoring about half a point a game, give or take, and he's got 10 goals in 47 games, so that's not bad. But then you look at the game logs, and I think he goes 12 games at the end of the season without a goal, and had a couple other streaks, long streaks, in the middle of the season. I think one six games long, and I think maybe the other one eight games long without goals. So sort of tails off at the end, has a few, you know, slumps in the middle. So Daryl, overall, what did we think about the contributions of Andreas Athanasiou?
You know, I look at it as a bright spot, just because of the element of speed that he brings to the lineup. And when you factor in that the goals that he scored were all scored at even strength, that kind of makes it a little bit more interesting as you move forward. There's no doubt that he needs to work on a complete 200-foot game, but I think that's very consistent with a lot of the players in the Kings, that they've got to buy into playing that complete 200-foot game, establishing a forecheck, play away from the puck. Towards the end of the year, not only his numbers, fell off, a lot of the players fell off. So can't really point that out that, his game really, changed drastically. I think it was the overall product of the team. So I think he's a player that you want to take a look at, gives a little bit more time for the other players to be able to grow. But with his speed, again, he's a guy that can be tenacious on the forecheck. He can open things up for his line mates. And that he showed when he does get the puck on a stick that he has the ability to be able to finish. So I'm looking forward to hopefully the Kings, being able to put that together and, give him another look on a normal type of season, and to see the way it all plays out over a full 82-game year.
The lines were a challenge this year between injury, COVID, and just trying to nail down an identity of this team. Athanasiou has such a unique skill set with that speed, and not only the speed, but also we saw in a couple of his goals, the ability to navigate through tight traffic close to the net. What kind of line mates would you put him with to maximize the value of that skill set?
Well, he's a player that, again, as he plays in this year is a little different because sometimes some of the line matchups you got were not like what you normally see in a regular season. I think if he's slotted, on your third unit, maybe even on your fourth unit with that type of speed, he's going to be up against the opposition, let's say their third pair of defense, which is going to give him a little bit more space to be able to, make plays that he's capable of making. When you're playing that top six forward role, you're up against the other teams, generally top four defense most of the time, and it's a little bit more challenging. So I think if the Kings can fill the holes in front of him and he gets slotted in the right position, he needs to play with, a centerman that can hang on to the puck and get him the puck in the right time. If he gets a chance to be able to establish his speed and get the pass, just as he's approaching a defenseman, very few defensemen in the NHL are going to be able to turn and go with him because of the speed that he has, and he handles the puck fairly well. So line mates will be a key, and I'm sure that'd be something that, Rob and Luke and the coaches discuss over the summer as they project their lines. I'm not sure, they've probably done a little bit of a preliminary on that right now, but that'll become a little more clear as, free agency and that goes by to see whether or not the Kings are able to acquire anybody. But, he's a player that his speed definitely excites you. And, I think the numbers that he put up this year were respectable, especially seeing that all of his goals were at even strength. So that's an area where the Kings need to create more goals, is at even strength, 5-on-5 play where the majority of the game is played. He's got the ability to be able to be a difference maker in that situation.
So I'm fond of saying that happiness is measured by expectations on All the Kings Men podcast. And this next player is a perfect example of that. We're talking about Blake Lizotte. Now, last season, Blake Lizotte comes in. I don't think anybody necessarily expected him to be a regular contributor. He winds up playing 65 games out of the 70, scores 6 goals, 17 assists, 23 points, makes a huge name for himself in his rookie season as an undrafted player. Now, this season, he plays 41 games, scores 3 goals, 7 assists, and 10 points, gets shuffled around the lineup way more than he did the previous season. And so suddenly a guy that the previous season came in with zero expectations comes in this season with higher expectations. What did you think about his performance this year, Daryl?
It was one of those things that when you look at the season, it was a tough year, because of, COVID, injuries, and things like that. And, just as you start to get in a little bit of a roll and a rhythm, you get some line mates, that kind of gets taken away with COVID and the injuries and things. So with Lizotte, I think he's a player that brings a great work ethic. And this is something that you want to be, you know, again, we'll use that word contagious, as we did the last time we spoke with Trevor Moore. But he's a guy that comes with a lot of energy, plays bigger than his size. You can use him in a lot of different situations. He can be effective on the penalty kill. I think what we see in him is a responsible player, a guy that's good at both ends of the rink, that complements his teammates. You know, what he doesn't have in size, he makes up with work ethic and being in the right place and, you know, and a good hockey mind to be able to think through situations. So, you know, I think there was maybe a little greater expectation, but I think some of that wasn't met because of the, you know, the in another lineup type of thing and the inconsistency with line mates. But I think that'll be said for a lot of players, not only in the Kings, but across the league. You know, I think he's one of those guys you want to get another look at where he slots in the lineup. That'll be determined whether or not the Kings are able to acquire anybody to fill in, let's say, their top six forwards, add a little bit more maybe experience in that department, and then his role will play out. But definitely a player I think you want to take another look at and see where you can get the best out of him on a night-to-night basis.
Because he was such a high point of the previous season, we've had a number of different conversations with a number of different people. And, you know, we were talking to Jim Fox some point over the last calendar year. I don't remember exactly when. And we were talking about, you know, realistically, do certain players have a role on a contending team? And the question came up of, you know, does Blake Lizotte have a role on a team that's fighting for the Stanley Cup? And Jim's argument was that, yeah, on a Stanley Cup contender, Blake Lizotte probably has an opportunity to win a fourth center spot on a cup contending team, but definitely not as a second line center, which is where he started this season. So again, trying not to ask the how important question, but how much growth does Blake Lizotte have to put into his game to keep that, you know, that spot alive in his career?
Well, I think that, you know, he's probably, like, if you take a look at, you know, where what the Kings and who the Kings have drafted the last couple of years, the positions that they've drafted, I think it's pretty clear and pretty realistic as to, you know, does he expect to be a second line center, you know, maybe even a third line center? You know, when you look at Byfield coming, Velarde, Kupari, now that's not to say none of these guys can be pushed to the wing, you know, Kempe, you know, where are you going to play him, whether it's the middle or the side? I think for for Blake Lizotte, what you want to do is you want to target a position. And I think Jim's, you know, pretty right on when he spots that fourth line center, because again, he's a guy that can elevate himself in a lineup from night to night, depending on a way a game's going, injury, penalties, whatever may happen. I think a clear thing for Blake to work on this summer would be to really improve in the faceoff circle, because if you are going to be that fourth line center and he's got the ability to be a penalty killer, it's all going to start with the faceoffs. And so many times this past season, we saw, you know, Todd McClellan have to always turn back to and use Anže Kopitar as that, you know, that centerman, the left shooting centerman out there in those draws in the defensive zone. So if Blake Lizotte can improve, elevate that part of his game, I think that'll help solidify his position on that fourth unit. But he, you know, he brings you an energy that you want to see. And I think with the right amount of minutes, the line matchups, getting a better feel for the league, you know, because of his work ethic and what he's gone through his entire career to get to where he's at today, I think he can find a way to make that a steady role for himself.
We're talking about Matt Luff right now. Matt Luff played 13 games this season, one goal, his only point on the season. Again, 13 games, not a lot of time on ice. What did you think about Matt Luff's season, Daryl?
A little bit disappointed, Jess. You know, I think he was one of the players when, you know, when the season come about, you know, again, there were, you know, an opportunity for him, especially the way as many guys were in and out of the lineup, you know, with COVID injuries and you know, in a compressed schedule. I thought there was an opportunity for him to maybe take advantage of a stage that was presented to him. And I really didn't see that. I didn't see the growth in his game that not only, you know, myself or I think the Kings as an organization would like to have seen. You know, he's been around enough now that you expect a little bit more from his game. So I was a little disappointed in not seeing, you know, that part of his game.
he broke onto the scene in the 2018-19 season. It was closer to the end of the season, and it was a rough season in Kings history with the coaching changes and the missing the playoffs the year after making the playoffs. Is it possible that because he came in a season that was so lost at that point, he was able to make a name for himself, but as the pressure and competitiveness of the team increased, he wasn't able to match the growth of the team?
You know, when players come up like that, you know, initially you're relaxed. You're really in a situation where, you know, it's a win-win for you, because you're nothing on the line, you know, the playoffs aren't on the line and things like that. So you're looking more at your individual things. You know, I think over time he's been given, a lot of consultation from the coaches, whether it be in the American Hockey League or from the NHL coaches, as to the things that he needs to work on. I think, you know, where it comes into is it's just the intensity in his game. You know, he's got the abilities he showed to be able to put the puck in the net. But with young players, he needs to establish a consistency in his game. And, even down in, you know, playing down in Ontario, you didn't see that. And that's something that you would hope that would, you know, kind of jump to the forefront at this stage. So that's where I think with the amount of players that are coming up like in this next wave with all the draft choices and that, I think he's kind of pushed himself a little bit to the back of the bus as opposed to elevating himself to the front, maybe a step ahead of some of these younger players that are coming up. I think he's going to be challenged. And, I think because the Kings have a sample of him as to what they've seen, unless he comes out and, you know, really lights it up, at training camp where that's if they, elect to, move forward, that he's going to have a tough time cracking a lineup, because I think there's going to be the competitiveness continues to get greater and greater, and that becomes a win-win for the Kings.
Yeah, and with another draft class yet to join the team later this summer at 24 and a restricted free agent, that hill just keeps getting steeper for Matt Luff, but we wish him the best of luck. Thanks, Daryl.
All right, Jess, thanks a lot.